she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. We are back to our normal 10 to 11 to 1, I should say, 11 to 1 time. I get so confused this time of year as we move back. At the moment, football is over, but as a housekeeping note, next week we have Clark's Christmas Kids, so I will be off. Clark will be here doing his live broadcast. At least I think it's live. So stay tuned for that, and then we only will have 2 weeks left until the end of the year, which is hard to believe. So, lots to do in December, as we always do. I want to open up the phone lines, but hear what we're talking about today. It is our annual year-end tax show. We have in the studio today Bill Nemeth, who's an enrolled agent, and Chet Burgess, who's an enrolled agent, and Mary Brody, an enrolled agent, all of them here to answer your year-end tax questions. And, you know, some years there are more tax changes than others. This year there's quite a lot going on as we try to clean up, or as the government is trying to clean up some issues. So I want to open up the phone lines. We are going to talk tax today. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Lines are wide open. We're going to start in just a moment with giving you an update on some of the different tax laws and rules that are going into effect. There have been some changes due to the ACA, the Affordable Care Act that have gone on. There are some things you're going to need to know for next year because of the Affordable Care Act. We're going to try and cover a few of those things as well. And if you do have a very urgent, pressing year-end real estate question, of course, I'll be happy to answer that as well for you. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Follow me on Twitter, at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I'll be tweeting out how to reach Bill and Mary and Chet. And, of course, you can call here as well, and I'll tweet out some of the answers, and we'll get it all going for you. It's 11:09. Let me first welcome Bill, Mary, and Chet back to the studio. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to have you. So who wants to dig in? Because, boy, there has been, I think the ACA probably defines everything in terms of tax, but there have been a lot of other tax tweaks. Maybe we can just call it that. And I thought maybe we would start there.
All right.
All right. We're deciding who's going to go through the 42-page list.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, maybe it's a little bit more extensive than I thought, but
lots of things happen. Lots of things.
All right. Let's go with the highlights then. Okay. Bill, you want to dig in?
Sure. The highlights that I'll start with, the top tax rate for individuals goes from 35% up to 39.6%.
Ouch.
Yes. The top capital gain rate goes up as well to 20%. It went up from 15.
Okay.
Good news is, well, bad news, increase in top estate gift and generation skipping tax rate goes up to 40% from 35%. This year, when we do our taxes, we have our personal exemption amounts. Those are subject to phase-out if you make a lot of money.
How much money?
Married filing joint, $300,000. Single, $250,000.
So there's no personal exemption once you hit $300,000 in income?
No, well, they start to phase out. They go down to zero.
Okay.
But
That's new.
Yeah, and then this other one is the itemized deduction reduction, which is called the PEAS thing, after a senator that sponsored this in 1990. So as you itemize your deduction, subject to a lot of exceptions, you can reduce your itemized deductions by up to 80% for tax purposes.
And that's not a good thing.
Okay.
Then we have a fun one.
Wait, we're not into the fun ones yet? Really? I'm already having fun, and it's been like 30 seconds of the show.
For people who have an office and home, this is typically self-employed people, they mm-hmm. would do a very complex form called the 8829. Mm-hmm. It had about 14 entries in it, and you would get a nice benefit on your self-employed tax return as a deduction. There is something the IRS created this year. It's called the Safe Harbor. They will allow you up to $5 per square foot for up to 300 square feet of your home if it's used solely and exclusively and regularly for business. So if you net it out, that's up to $1,500. You don't have to get involved in the depreciation of your home, cost of your utilities, and all of that. And so we expect that to be popular, although as tax preparers, we'll obviously look at it both ways to see if it's more beneficial to do the very complex 8829.
All right, well, that sort of sounds like a bone.
Yeah, exactly.
Not much.
It's a fun one. And so we expect a lot of people with TurboTax are going to have a $1,500 office and home deduction, whether they deserve it or not, just because the form allows them to do it.
Okay. Has TurboTax just, I guess we should get this on the table now, has TurboTax and MacinTax and all the other ones that do this, is everybody up to date now because everybody knew this was coming? Because I think it was last year or the year before, I'm sort of, as I keep saying to Sam, the decades are collapsing on me. And we've been doing this show for like 15 plus years. But there was a year, I think it was last year, where there were just so many changes that didn't go into effect until basically January that all the forms were wrong. Or is this one of those years where they've already pushed out when, I think they've already pushed out when they're going to open up the IRS for business?
Yeah, exactly. Right now they're debating on January 30th. There is a strong rumor that it may come forward a week to maybe January 21st.
Okay.
And that was because of the shutdown, and they got behind in their testing, or at least that's what they're telling us.
Okay. I had heard January 21st to join January 23rd, but it could be January 30th. Who knows? who knows? I just can't imagine it would be February. I did hear, though, that April 15th is not changing.
That is correct.
So everybody's going to have to get moving faster. On the other hand, I also heard that we're doing more. The IRS is really allowing even more people to file electronically this year.
Requiring, not allowing.
Requiring.
Good,
that's
good
new.
Well, actually, no, that's been in effect for a couple of years for professionals who file a certain number of returns. I think it's down to 10 now.
Mm-hmm.
We're required to file electronically unless the taxpayer specifically in writing says, no, I want a paper return.
You know, it's interesting. I wanted to Sam and I, maybe because of all the deductions or, I don't know, the LLC or some of the other things that we do, I feel like we're never able to file electronically, but we file our company returns electronically because the tax preparer does it. This year, and for a long time, I think higher income people weren't able to file electronically if you weren't doing the easy form. So this year, is it sort of everybody can file electronically? Is that
last
the starting
year
point is?
Of my couple of hundred clients, I only filed one on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a number of clients who are executives in an international investment firm, and they have in-house private limited partnerships with multi-state allocations, and we've been e-filing those for years.
And the multi-state is huge because if your client has a very complicated federal return, they may also have multiple states.
Yeah, five or six states, including both California and New York.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so yeah. You file the federal e-file, and boy, you can get all those states and almost every one electronically, which is just a huge benefit.
I will say that the states have not kept up. Sam was shaking his head. We got a check yesterday from, yes, the state of Illinois Department of Revenue, because every year we file for the boys, Alex and Michael, and every year we pay the tax, and every year they lose the check. And then we pay another check because they've lost the check.
No wonder Illinois is in so much trouble.
And then instead of forwarding it, you know, pushing it forward to just like say, okay, would you like us to just keep it for the next one? No, they return it. So in Friday's mail, Alex and Michael's checks turned up from the last. It's just, you want to cry. All right, let's go back to the news on, there's so much more news. All right, so what else has changed and is going on that everybody needs to know about?
Well, we've got a watershed event when the Supreme Court overturned the Defense of Marriage Act. and the IRS then acted on that and is requiring all couples who are married, regular or same-sex, to file according to their marital status in the state where they were married. So that what they're talking about is you're married, obviously, in the state of celebration, but wherever that married couple moves to is they are married filing jointly for federal purposes in that state.
So let me ask a question, because I don't believe Georgia...
No.
Right. Or Florida, for those of you listening in Florida. So if you are a gay couple that was married in, say, Illinois or Massachusetts or wherever it is, mm-hmm. Do you then have to file for that state because you were married there? Or you're living in Georgia, so you're filing federally as married couple, same sex, but separately in the state of Georgia?
You're filing as single in Georgia. No, you do not have to file in the state where you married, only in the state of residence,
mm-hmm.
Unless you have source income from the state
from
where
the
you
correct.
Married.
Correct. Okay, so if you've got a business over in wherever you got married. So just most people won't have
and
that.
And then in Georgia, to answer your next question, what mm-hmm. we have to do is we take the married filing jointly federal return, and we have to split all the income and expenses, again, as if they were totally single and file two single returns with the state of Georgia.
And it's driving the software developers nuts.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how would you do that if you're TurboTax because it's all...
Well, I don't know about TurboTax. Fortunately, you know, we've got professional-grade software, and the easy approach mine always does of a filing status analysis with a married couple, and I can just push a button, and it'll automatically split the income and deductions into two separate return files, and then I just change the filing status from married filing separate to single, and then I usually just have to do a couple tweaks, and the Georgia's done.
All right. So
I don't think TurboTax can do that, no.
Yeah.
And the other commentary on same-sex couples, there can be a huge detraction to getting married. Mary and Chet were both commenting before we went on the air that some of their couples are looking at huge increases in tax bills if they chose to get married.
Okay, well, we've had the marriage penalty for a while, so welcome to the party. We have to take a quick, maybe not quite that high, but we have to take a quick break. It is 19 minutes past the hour. We're doing our annual year-end tax show. Call with your questions, 404-872-0750. We are not even done yet with just what's going on with news. Bill, Mary, and Chet, I will be here in a moment, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
25 News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Clink, rebuilding America one house at a time. We are officially in the Christmas season. It's so nice. Glad you could join us today. 404-872-0750 for our annual tax show with Bill Nemeth and Chet Burgess and Mary Brody. I wanted to take a quick call. Why don't we do that and see what Dan has to say? Dan, welcome to the Elise Clink Show.
Thank you. Enjoy your show.
Thank you. What's your question today?
I'm single, now retired, and a couple of years ago, prior to retiring, my tax preparer said to me in so many words, you might want to think along these lines that after the age of 62, living in Georgia, you may have additional tax exemption. And I didn't further the inquiry, and that was that. I wanted to know what truth there is to that. Maybe that is dependent upon the tax bracket that one is under.
Oh,
so
Dan,
I'll listen to your response.
All right, Dan. Well, thank you. Actually, the nice thing is that we have good news for you, I think, don't we, Bill?
We have great news. when you're 62 or older, the Georgia seniors exclusion is up to $35,000. That is exempt from Georgia taxes. If you're still working, $4,000 of that is earned income. The remainder is any other income you have, be it stocks, bonds, interest, IRAs, whatever. And it gets better. If you had Social Security that was taxable at the federal level, it is not taxed at the Georgia level. And so that's the first part. And let me tell you what you have to look forward to. The year you turn 65 and beyond, the exclusion goes up to $65,000. So it's really good.
Yeah, it's good news for Dan and anybody else who is a senior living in Georgia, and that has evolved over the years. I remember when they first started to bring that out. I'm going to guess that it was 4 years ago, but it might be longer.
2002.
Right. See what I mean? I started the show saying the decades are just collapsing on me, and I'm really too young for that.
That's the short-term memory that goes first, Elise.
Is it? Oh, good grief. Well, I am going to have a big birthday next year. It is 28 minutes past the hour on the Elise Kling Show. Rebuilding America One House at a Time. We're talking tax today with Bill Nemeth, Chet Burgess, and Mary Brody. So call with your questions, 404-872-0750, celebrating the end of the year on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find Elise Glink live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750. News Talk WSB.
11:37. Welcome back to the Elise Kling Show, Rebuilding America, One House at a Time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. We are doing our annual tax show. We always do this so that you have a few days left before the end of the year to make any changes that will affect you next April 15th. My guests in for a repeat visit, Bill Nemeth and Chet Burgess and Mary Brody. All of them are enrolled agents, which means they are licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS. And they've taken tests to that, among other things. We're taking your calls at 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Chet, I know you want to get back to how you've been able to save same-sex couples some money when they're filing, and there are some new changes to that. Let's get back to that in just a minute, because I've already gotten some tweets online about that. I do want to get to Lee's call from Marietta. Lee, welcome to the Elise Kling Show.
Yes, I have received money from the Georgia Department of Transportation in the form of a condemnation on some property I own. And I want to know the tax implications on this money.
All right. Who wants to take that one? Chet? Chet wants to take that.
Well, bottom line, I'll step in for Chet. Bottom line, when you receive money as payment for an easement that you've given up on your property, they're generally is no tax or reportable income to you for that money. What you have to do, though, is change the basis in your house, which means you reduce what you paid for the house by the amount of money that you receive from the GOT.
So this is just pasture land. It's no house.
Well, this still a basis of the land then.
Yep. So give an example. So if the how much did you pay for the land, Lee?
About $3,000, maybe a little more.
$3,000 for it?
Okay. Per acre.
And what per acre? And how many acres is it?
It's 140.
Okay. So about $340,000, let's
yep.
just say. So
Yeah.
Or 450,000. What did you say?
420,000.
420,000. Thank you for doing the math. Okay. So how much did the DOT give you?
126 after the attorneys got through with it.
126,000.
Yeah.
So your basis is now what? 294,000.
Yeah. You just subtract
394. Yeah.
You just subtract 126,000 from the original cost, and then in the future, when you sell that land, you use the lower basis to compute your
gain. Right, I got it.
Per acre now, if you had 104, however many acres it was, divided by the 294,000 basis, and only sold off part of the acres, then that's how you would calculate your gain.
Yeah, they took about 26 acres, I believe it was.
Okay.
That was a lot.
Yeah, so the land has increased in value, and this will, unfortunately, decrease your basis. So now there potentially could be a higher tax to pay. The one thing to, if you decide not to sell it or sell any more of it, but you decide that you want to leave it to your heirs, I think Bill, Mary, and Chet, you guys could obviously correct me if I'm incorrect on this, but I believe that the best way would be for his heirs to inherit rather than to give it in a lifetime.
Right.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, because you'll get the step-up in basis on death, and then there won't be any tax even in
okay.
the future.
Assuming right. that Congress doesn't change anything.
Yeah, I know.
Which
okay,
you never know. You. And maybe consider putting it in, if you're going to do that, consider putting it in a trust where you can shift things around in terms of, you know, beneficiaries. It's sort of maybe would make it a little bit easier, and you, of course you would avoid probate.
Right.
Okay. What kind of trust?
I don't know. There are all sorts of trusts. It depends.
No. Okay.
Well, it depends on what you're on what the point of the trust is, right? So,
right.
if you're trying to get it out of your estate, there's one kind of trust. If it's a second to die trust, you have a spouse, and you're looking to bypass the spouse and get it directly to the kids. That's a little bit of a different trust. If you're looking to permanently name beneficiaries and people, you know, there's just different kinds. So, really, you want to talk to probably your tax professor.
Just thinking off the top of my head, I'd probably just sell it and give them the money.
Sell it and give them the money. But then you get into, right, so then you're going to run into a gift tax issue, perhaps, given how valuable it is. But anyway, you can have those discussions with your state attorney.
Got it.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Lee. Happy holidays. 42 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Elisa has been hanging on for a little while from Mableton. Hi, Elisa.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on today?
Question, I'm going to try to make it short. Foreclosed house back in 2010. Citi was the first mortgage. Bank of America was the second mortgage. Citi sent 1099-C immediately. The next year after it was foreclosed, I paid taxes, everything okay with that. But Bank of America never did send anything, and they reported it as a charged off.
Okay.
And recently I heard that they were forgiven the second mortgage. How do I find out without having to go to customer no service?
Okay. Charge off would mean that they have forgiven it, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, Mary, and Chet, but that is, you know, it's a negative on your credit, but they have charged it off, meaning they've gotten it off their books. So, but they didn't send a tax form, so I'm not sure how the IRS sees it, and then the danger would be that they charged it off, but when they charged it off, they sold it to a collection agency or gave it to a collection agency. All right, tax team, any thoughts there?
Well, if there was a, you know, I always take the position if there's a 1099-C, you deal with that, and you might deal with it if it was a 1099-A, but if they send nothing, I would not just proactively include income on my taxes.
No, and especially this was 2010, so she's got, I mean, it goes back already. This is in the worst of the recession, and BOA, you know, was certainly, you know, charging things off and getting rid of them.
Right.
But, you know,
but even so, I've seen banks send out 1099-Cs a year to a year and a half after the event.
Right, but that would only be the middle of 2011 or even 2012. We're now about to go into 2014.
And there's still no word.
Still no word.
Mm-hmm.
So, Elisa, one thing that I could maybe do for you is, if you're interested, you can forward to me at questions@thinklink.com. Questions at, and then our website, thinklink.com, thinklink.com. Your second mortgage number.
Okay.
And that it was Bank of America. And just give me a paragraph on what happened. And if you like, I will go to Bank of America and I will ask them to research it for you and see what they can find.
I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy to do that. I'm just going to sort of throw it out there, however, that if it's this may start you down a path that I'm not sure where it will go. So sometimes it's best to leave sleeping dogs lie. But
I'm
just saying. But I'm happy to do that and see what happens, because it's possible that that was really the crush of all of those, the forgiving of the mortgages and what was going on.
Yes.
And it would be nice to get that answered before the end of the year for a tax reason, simply because if they haven't forgiven it, it would be nice to see if we could get them to forgive it, if it's not somehow official. Because Bill, Mary, and Chad, I know this is probably something we were going to talk about at the moment. That I think 2013 is the end. Congress has not extended the forgiveness for deficiencies for foreclosures and short sales beyond the end of this year. Is that right?
That is correct. On your primary residence, that is absolutely correct. And we're afraid that that's going to really impact some taxpayers in 2014.
I think it's going to impact people. You know, 2013 seems so far away. When they, I think it was 2011, when they pushed that out, we thought, oh, 2013, it'll all be cleared up by then. But, and it is to a greater degree, but there are still millions of people who are underwater, especially in states like Georgia. So, Elisa, again, if you send it to questions@thinklink.com, I will try and have them research it before the end of the year for you, so maybe we can get some closure for you. Before we go to our next break, Chet, I know you wanted to get back to single-sex couples and the filing jointly on the federal return and as singles in states like Georgia and other places where that's not recognized. Thoughts?
I just wanted to mention the fact that any couples who were actually married in a state that recognized same-sex marriages in a prior year have the option under the IRS regulations to file amended returns. It's called Revenue Ruling 2013-17 is the guiding principle. So as an example, I had a couple who married in Connecticut in 2010, and they've been filing as single. Well, we amended their three returns for 2010, 2011, 2012 to married filing jointly, and they're getting combined refunds from the feds of about $17,000.
Wow.
And it you have to file an amended return, and it's recommended that you put at the top that you're filing it under Revenue Ruling 2013-17, and also put in quotation marks the citation, the name of the Supreme Court case, which was Windsor. You know, like the castle in Britain. And that'll help them, because all amended returns are reviewed by an IRS examinations division person. And I suspect most of the campuses have probably designated a couple of people to be experts in these amended returns. And that'll ensure it gets to somebody who knows the drill. It'll take three months, give or take, you know, to hear back from the IRS on this.
But it would be worth paying to have somebody do it if you thought you might actually get back. Is there a way to test out what kind of, you know, without going into a, you know, a fee situation where you're paying
a couple
of thousand dollars?
Here's the general principle. Uh-huh. If you have a substantial difference in income between the two spouses, let's say one's $100,000 a year and the other's about $20,000, the chances are very good that filing jointly will save them several thousand dollars. If their incomes are roughly similar, or they're both high incomers, say six figures, chances are they may well pay more filing jointly, in which case
don't do it.
Yeah, and a good tax professional can do this on a calculator real quickly. If Mary and I, if you give us the two tax returns, we can do a calculator in about 2 minutes and tell you whether it's worth pursuing or not.
Back of the hand is always the best. All right, 404-872-0750. We're doing our annual tax show with Bill Nemeth and Chet Burgess and Mary Brody on the website thinklink.com. Tomorrow we will put up their contact information so that you can find them. But you can always go to find an enrolled agent at 4GAEA, for Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents, .org. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Sight is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
It's 11:55 on the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. We're doing our annual tax show. There's still a few days left before the end of the year in order to get some things righted. So next April 15th, maybe the 16th this year, I don't know. It'll be make it a little easier. We have in the studio today Bill Nemeth and Chet Burgess and Mary Brody. They're all enrolled agents, and they are here to help answer your questions. We have a lot of questions to get to, guys. Somehow the slate has filled up. So let's talk to Clarence. Hey, Clarence, welcome to the Elise Glink Show.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
I'm retired, and my wife's retired, and we get Social Security, and I'm working part-time, and I'm confused. I've had several different answers on how much I can make before I have to pay taxes on my Social Security.
Okay. Would you like the official answer?
Yes, I would very much.
Stand by. Bill Marion.
Well, I'll ask the first question. How old are you, sir?
71.
You don't have to worry about anything. You can earn as much as you want.
But was the question, at what point do you have to pay tax on the Social Security?
Right. They told me if I make over $25,000 part-time, then I have to pay taxes on the Social Security.
Ah, okay. You're talking about the tax.
Yeah, the threshold. That's $34,000 for a married couple?
For a married couple, yeah. So if your adjusted gross income on the return...
Without the Social Security.
Without the Social Security is $34,000 or less, you're fine.
Okay.
So basically, along with your other income, now you have to factor in what you make and what your other income is, too, but, $34,000 is your threshold.
Okay. Now, if I go over that, do I have to pay taxes on all of the Social Security or a percentage that I go over? In other words, my problem is I've met the threshold right about now, mm-hmm. and so I don't want to, just for the rest of December... If I've got to pay taxes on everything, what's the point of working?
Yeah, no, you don't have to pay tax on all that Social Security. No, it phases in.
Yeah, okay. It turns out the maximum that would be moved over into the taxable column is 85%, but you'd have to be making a considerable amount of money to do that.
Right.
And you're not going to be taxed at Georgia anyway, so I would continue to work and help the economy.
Enjoy yourself.
That's right. There's just a few days left of the year, working days, Clarence. Thanks so much for your call. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. When we come back, we are going to ask about some of the big deductions, mortgage interest deduction, the energy saving credits, if any of those still exist. We talked about deficiency tax forgiveness. So far, it looks like the end of the year for that. Just a couple of days left to get that going. But we will be back with more of our tax show next on News Talk WSB.
When she was 18, her father gave her the advice she needed to follow her dreams and become a writer. The next day, he had a heart attack and died in her arms. She did become a writer and a business owner and then a wife and mother. Today, after 13 books, a million of them in print, she's an award-winning syndicated columnist, a radio and TV host, and the owner of two successful companies. And now, Elise is here to help you rebuild your life. Stay tuned. This is gonna be good. This is the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours.
It still is morning. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours. We are back to our normal 11 to 1 time. We get so confused this time of year as we move back. At the moment, football is over, but as a housekeeping note, next week we have Clark's Christmas Kids, so I will be off. Clark will be here doing his live broadcast. At least I think it's live. So stay tuned for that, and then we only will have 2 weeks left until the end of the year, which is hard to believe. So lots to do in December, as we always do. I want to open up the phone lines, but hear what we're talking about today. It is our annual year-end tax show. We have in the studio today Bill Nemeth, who's an enrolled agent, and Chet Burgess, who's an enrolled agent, and Mary Brody, an enrolled agent, all of them here to answer your year-end tax questions. And, you know, some years there are more tax changes than others. This year there's quite a lot going on as we try to clean up, or as the government is trying to clean up some issues. So I want to open up the phone lines. We are going to talk tax today. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Lines are wide open. We're going to start in just a moment with giving you an update on some of the different tax laws and rules that are going into effect. There have been some changes due to the ACA, the Affordable Care Act that have gone on. There are some things you're going to need to know for next year because of the Affordable Care Act. We're going to try and cover a few of those things as well. And if you do have a very urgent, pressing year-end real estate question, of course, I'll be happy to answer that as well for you. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. follow me on Twitter at Glink, at G-L-I-N-K. I'll be tweeting out how to reach Bill and Mary and Chet. And, of course, you can call here as well, and I'll tweet out some of the answers, and we'll get it all going for you. It's 11:09. Let me first welcome Bill, Mary, and Chet back to the studio. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
It's nice to have you. So who wants to dig in? Because, boy, there has been, I think the ACA probably defines everything in terms of tax, but there have been a lot of other tax tweaks. Maybe we can just call it that. And I thought maybe we would start there.
All right. Bill.
We're deciding who's going to go through the 42-page list.
Oh, my. Okay. Well, maybe it's a little bit more extensive than I thought, but...
Lots of things happen. Lots of things.
All right. Let's go with the highlights then. Okay. Bill, you want to dig in?
Sure. The highlights that I'll start with, the top tax rate for individuals goes from 35% up to 39.6%.
Ouch.
Yes. The top capital gain rate goes up as well to 20%. It went up from 15.
Okay.
Good news is, well, bad news, increase in top estate gift and generation skipping tax rate goes up to 40% from 35%. This year, when we do our taxes, we have our personal exemption amounts. Those are subject to phase out if you make a lot of money.
How much money?
Married filing joint, $300,000. Single, $250,000.
So there's no personal exemption once you hit $300,000 in income?
No. Well, they start to phase out. They go down to zero.
Okay.
But
that's new.
Yeah. And then this other one is the itemized deduction. Reduction, which is called the Pease thing, after a senator that sponsored this in 1990. So as you itemize your deductions, subject to a lot of exceptions, you can reduce your itemized deductions by up to 80% for tax purposes.
And that's not a good thing.
Okay.
Then we have a fun one.
Wait, we're not into the fun ones yet? Really? I'm already having fun, and it's been like 30 seconds of the show.
For people who have an office and home, this is typically self-employed people, they would do a very complex form called the 8829. Mm-hmm. It had about 14 entries in it, and you would get a nice benefit on your self-employed tax return as a deduction. There is something the IRS created this year. It's called the Safe Harbor. They will allow you up to $5 per square foot for up to 300 square feet of your home if it's used solely and exclusively and regularly for business. So if you net it out, that's up to $1,500. You don't have to get involved in the depreciation of your home, cost of your utilities, and all of that. And so we expect that to be popular, although as tax preparers, we'll obviously look at it both ways to see if it's more beneficial to do the very complex 8829.
All right. Well, that sort of sounds like a bone.
Yeah, exactly.
Not much.
It's a fun one. And so we expect a lot of people with TurboTax are going to have a $1,500 office and home deduction, whether they deserve it or not, just because the form allows them to do it.
Okay. Has TurboTax just, I guess we should get this on the table now, has TurboTax and MacinTax and all the other ones that do this, is everybody up to date now because everybody knew this was coming? Because I think it was last year or the year before, I'm sort of, as I keep saying to Sam, the decades are collapsing on me. And we've been doing this show for like 15 plus years. But there was a year, I think it was last year, where there were just so many changes that didn't go into effect until basically January, that all the forms were wrong. Or is this one of those years where they've already pushed out when, I think they've already pushed out when they're going to open up the IRS for business?
Yeah, exactly. Right now they're debating on January 30th. There is a strong rumor that it may come forward a week to maybe January 21st.
Okay.
And that was because of the shutdown and they got behind in their testing, or at least that's what they're telling us.
Okay. I had heard January 21st to join January 23rd, but it could be January 30th. Who knows? who knows? I just can't imagine it would be February. I did hear, though, that April 15th is not changing.
That is correct.
So everybody's going to have to get moving faster. On the other hand, I also heard that we're doing more. The IRS is really allowing even more people to file electronically this year.
Requiring, not allowing.
Requiring.
good,
that's
good
new.
Well, actually, no, that's been in effect for a couple of years for professionals who file a certain number of returns, I think it's down to 10 now,
mm-hmm.
we're required to file electronically unless the taxpayer specifically in writing says, no, I want a paper return.
You know, it's interesting. I wanted to Sam and I, maybe because of all the deductions or, I don't know, the LLC or some of the other things that we do, I feel like we're never able to file electronically, but we file our company returns electronically because the tax preparer does it. This year, and for a long time, I think higher income people weren't able to file electronically if you weren't doing the easy form. So this year, is it sort of everybody can file electronically? Is that
last
starting
year
point
of my couple of hundred clients, I only filed one on paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a number of clients who are executives in an international investment firm, and they have in-house private limited partnerships with multi-state allocations, and we've been e-filing those for years.
And the multi-state is huge because if your client has a very complicated federal return, they may also have multiple states.
Yeah, and five or six states, including both California and New York.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, fun.
Yeah, so yeah. You file the federal e-file, and boy, you can get all those states and almost every one electronically, which is just a huge benefit.
I will say that the states have not kept up. Sam was shaking his head. We got a check yesterday from, yes, the state of Illinois Department of Revenue, because every year we file for the boys, Alex and Michael, and every year we pay the tax, and every year they lose the check. And then we pay another check because they've lost the check.
No
and
wonder
then they
Illinois
find the check,
is in so much trouble.
And then instead of forwarding it, you know, pushing it forward to just like say, okay, would you like us to just keep it for the next one? No, they return it. So in Friday's mail, Alex and Michael's checks turned up from the last. It's just, you want to cry. All right, let's go back to the news on, there's so much more news. All right, so what else has changed and is going on that everybody needs to know about?
Well, we've got a watershed event when the Supreme Court overturned the Defense of Marriage Act, and the IRS then acted on that and is requiring all couples who are married, regular or same-sex, to file according to their marital status in the state where they were married. So that what they're talking about is you're married, obviously, in the state of celebration, but wherever that married couple moves to is they are married filing jointly for federal purposes in that state.
So let me ask a question, because I don't believe Georgia...
No.
No.
Right. Or Florida, for those of you listening in Florida. So if you are a gay couple that was married in, say, Illinois or Massachusetts or wherever it is,
mm-hmm.
Do you then have to file for that state because you were married there? Or you're living in Georgia, so you're filing federally as married couple, same sex, but separately in the state of Georgia?
You're filing as single in Georgia. No, you do not have to file in the state where you married, only in the state of residence,
mm-hmm.
Unless you have source income from the state.
From
where
the
you
correct.
Married,
okay,
from the
so if
state,
you've got
yeah.
a business over in wherever you got married. So just most people won't have
and
that.
And then in Georgia, to answer your next question, what mm-hmm. we have to do is we take the married filing jointly federal return, and we have to split all the income and expenses, again, as if they were totally single, and file two single returns with the state of Georgia.
And it's driving the software developers nuts.
I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how would you do that if you're TurboTax, because it's all...
Well, I don't know about TurboTax. Fortunately, you know, we've got professional-grade software, and the easy approach mine always does of a filing status analysis with a married couple, and I can just push a button, and it'll automatically split the income and deductions into two separate return files, and then I just change the filing status from married filing separate to single, and then I usually just have to do a couple tweaks, and the Georgia's done.
All right. So
I don't think TurboTax can do that, no.
Yeah.
And the other commentary on same-sex couples, there can be a huge detraction to getting married. Mary and Chet were both commenting before we went on the air that some of their couples are looking at huge increases in tax bills if they chose to get married.
Okay, well, we've had the marriage penalty for a while, so welcome to the party. We have to take a quick, maybe not quite that high, but we have to take a quick break. It is 19 minutes past the hour. We're doing our annual year-end tax show. Call with your questions, 404-872-0750. We are not even done yet with just what's going on with news. Bill, Mary, and Chet, I will be here in a moment, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB.
Expert money advice you can depend on anytime at ClarkHoward.com and midday every Sunday with Elise Glink on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
25 News Talk WSB. I'm Elise Clink, rebuilding America one house at a time. We are officially in the Christmas season. It's so nice. Glad you could join us today. 404-872-0750 for our annual tax show with Bill Nemeth and Chet Burgess and Mary Brody. I wanted to take a quick call. Why don't we do that and see what Dan has to say? Dan, welcome to the Elise Clink Show.
Thank you. Enjoy your show.
Thank you. What's your question today?
I'm single, now retired, and a couple of years ago, prior to retiring, my tax preparer said to me in so many words, you might want to think along these lines that after the age of 62, living in Georgia, you may have additional tax exemption. And I didn't further the inquiry, and that was that. I wanted to know what truth there is to that. Maybe that is dependent upon the tax bracket that one is under.
Oh,
so
Dan,
I'll listen to your response.
All right, Dan. Well, thank you. Actually, the nice thing is that we have good news for you, I think, don't we, Bill?
We have great news. when you're 62 or older, the Georgia seniors exclusion is up to $35,000. That is exempt from Georgia taxes. If you're still working, $4,000 of that is earned income. The remainder is any other income you have, be it stocks, bonds, interest, IRAs, whatever. And it gets better. If you had Social Security that was taxable at the federal level, it is not taxed at the Georgia level. And so that's the first part. And let me tell you what you have to look forward to. The year you turn 65 and beyond, the exclusion goes up to $65,000. So it's really good.
Yeah, it's good news for Dan and anybody else who is a senior living in Georgia, and that has evolved over the years. I remember when they first started to bring that out. I'm going to guess that it was 4 years ago, but it might be longer.
2002.
2000, right. See what I mean? I started the show saying the decades are just collapsing on me, and I'm really too young for that.
That's the short-term memory that goes first, Elise.
Is it? Oh, good grief. Well, I am going to have a big birthday next year. It is 28 minutes past the hour on the Elise Clink Show. Rebuilding America one house at a time. We're talking tax today with Bill Nemeth, Chet Burgess, and Mary Brody. So call with your questions, 404-872-0750, celebrating the end of the year on News Talk WSB.
Find her expert advice anytime at thinklink.com and find Elise Glink live midday every Sunday on 95.5 FM and AM 750, News Talk WSB.
11:37. Welcome back to the Elise Clink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. We are doing our annual tax show. We always do this so that you have a few days left before the end of the year to make any changes that will affect you next April 15th. My guests in for a repeat visit, Bill Nemeth and Chet Burgess and Mary Brody. All of them are enrolled agents, which means they are licensed to represent taxpayers before the IRS. And they've taken tests to that, among other things. We're taking your calls at 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Chet, I know you want to get back to how you've been able to save same-sex couples some money when they're filing, and there are some new changes to that. Let's get back to that in just a minute, because I've already gotten some tweets online about that. I do want to get to Lee's call from Marietta. Lee, welcome to the Elise Clink Show.
Yes, I have received money from the Georgia Department of Transportation in the form of a condemnation on some property I own. And I want to know the tax implications on this money.
All right. Who wants to take that one?
Chet?
Chet wants to take that.
Well, bottom line, I'll step in for Chet. Bottom line, when you receive money as payment for an easement that you've given up on your property, there generally is no tax or reportable income to you for that money. What you have to do, though, is change the basis in your house, which means you reduce what you paid for the house by the amount of money that you receive from the GOT.
So,
this is just pasture land. There's no house.
Well, this still a basis of the land then.
Yeah. So give an example. So if how much did you pay for the land, Lee?
About $3,000, maybe a little more.
$3,000 for it?
Okay. Per acre.
And what per acre, and how many acres is it?
It's 140.
Okay, so about $340,000, let's
yep.
just say. So,
yeah.
Or 450,000. What did you say?
420,000.
420,000. Thank you for doing the math. Okay, so how much did the DOT give you?
126, after the attorneys got through with it.
126,000.
Okay. Yep.
So okay. your basis is now what? 294,000.
Yeah, you just subtract
394. Yeah.
You just subtract 126,000 from the original cost, and then in the future, when you sell that land, you use the lower basis to compute your
gain. Right. I got it.
Per acre now, if you had 104, however many acres it was, divided by the 294,000 basis, and only sold off part of the acres, then that's how you would calculate your gain.
Yeah, they took about 26 acres, I believe it was.
Okay.
That was a lot.
Yeah, so the land has increased in value, and this will, unfortunately, decrease your basis. So now there potentially could be a higher tax to pay. The one thing to, if you decide not to sell it or sell any more of it, but you decide that you want to leave it to your heirs, I think Bill, Mary, and Chad, you guys could obviously correct me if I'm incorrect on this, but I believe that the best way would be for his heirs to inherit rather than to give it in a lifetime.
Right.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah, because you'll get the step up in basis on death, and then there won't be any tax even in the future.
Assuming that Congress doesn't change anything.
Yeah, I know.
Which you never know. And maybe consider putting it in, if you're going to do that, consider putting it in a trust where you can shift things around in terms of, you know, beneficiaries. It's sort of maybe would make it a little bit easier, and you, of course you would avoid probate.
Right.
Okay. What kind of trust?
I don't know. There are all sorts of trusts. It depends.
No. Okay.
Well, it depends on what the point of the trust is, right? So if you're trying to get it out of your estate, there's one kind of trust. If it's a second to die trust, you have a spouse and you're looking to bypass the spouse and get it directly to the kids, that's a little bit of a different trust. If you're looking to permanently name beneficiaries and people, you know, there's just different kinds. So really you want to talk to probably your tax professor.
Just thinking off the top of my head, I'd probably just sell it and give them the money.
Sell it and give them the money. But then you get into, so then you're going to run into a gift tax issue, perhaps, given how valuable it is. But anyway, you can have those discussions with your state attorney.
Got it.
Appreciate it. Thank you, Lee. Happy holidays. 42 minutes past the hour, 404-872-0750. Elisa has been hanging on for a little while from Mableton. Hi, Elisa.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on today?
Question, I'm going to try to make it short. Foreclosed house back in 2010. City was the first mortgage. Bank of America was the second mortgage. City sends 1099-C immediately. The next year after it was foreclosed, I did taxes, everything okay with that. But Bank of America never did send anything, and they reported it as a charged off.
Okay.
And recently I heard that they were forgiven the second mortgage. How do I find out without having to go to customer no service?
Okay. Charge off would mean that they have forgiven it, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bill, Mary, and Chet, but that is, you know, it's a negative on your credit, but they have charged it off, meaning they've gotten it off their books. So, but they didn't send a tax form, so I'm not sure how the IRS sees it. And then the danger would be that they charged it off, but when they charged it off, they sold it to a collection agency or gave it to a collection agency. All right, tax team, any thoughts there?
Well, if there was a, you know, I always take the position if there's a 1099-C, you deal with that. And you might deal with it if it was a 1099-A, but if they send nothing, I would not just proactively include income on my taxes.
No, and especially this was 2010, so she's got, I mean, it goes back already. This is in the worst of the recession, and BOA, you know, was certainly, you know, charging things off and getting rid of them.
Right.
But, you know,
but even so, I've seen banks send out 1099-Cs a year to a year and a half after the event.
Right, but that would only be the middle of 2011 or even 2012. Oh. We're now about to go into 2014.
And there's still no word.
Still no word.
Mm-hmm.
So, Elisa, one thing that I could maybe do for you is, if you're interested, you can forward to me at questions@thinklink.com, questions at, and then our website, thinklink.com, thinklink.com, your second mortgage number.
Okay.
And that it was Bank of America. And just give me a paragraph on what happened. And if you like, I will go to Bank of America and I will ask them to research it for you and see what they can find.
I really appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy to do that. I'm just going to sort of throw it out there, however, that if it's, that if this may start you down a path that I'm not sure where it will go. So sometimes it's best to leave sleeping dogs alive. But I'm just saying, but I'm happy to do that and see what happens. Because it's possible that that was really the crush of all of those, the forgiving of the mortgages and what was going on.
Yes.
And it would be nice to get that answered before the end of the year for a tax reason, simply because if they haven't forgiven it, it would be nice to see if we could get them to forgive it, if it's not somehow official. Because, Bill, Mary, and Chad, I know this is probably something we were going to talk about at the moment. That I think 2013 is the end. Congress has not extended the forgiveness for deficiencies for foreclosures and short sales beyond the end of this year. Is that right?
That is correct. On your primary residence, that is absolutely correct. And we're afraid that that's going to really impact some taxpayers in 2014.
I think it's going to impact people. You know, 2013 seems so far away when they, I think it was 2011 when they pushed that out. We thought, oh, 2013, it'll all be cleared up by then. But, and it is to a greater degree, but there are still millions of people who are underwater, especially in states like Georgia. So, Elisa, again, if you send it to questions@thinklink.com, I will try and have them research it before the end of the year for you, so maybe we can get some closure for you. Before we go to our next break, Chet, I know you wanted to get back to single-sex couples and the filing jointly on the federal return and as singles in states like Georgia and other places where that's not recognized. Thoughts?
I just wanted to mention the fact that any couples who were actually married in a state that recognized same-sex marriages in a prior year have the option under the IRS regulations to file amended returns. It's called Revenue Ruling 2013-17 is the guiding principle. So as an example, I had a couple who married in Connecticut in 2010, and they've been filing as single. Well, we amended their three returns for 2010, 2011, 2012 to married filing jointly, and they're getting combined refunds from the feds of about $17,000.
Wow.
And it you have to file an amended return, and it's recommended that you put at the top that you're filing it under Revenue Ruling 2013-17, and also put in quotation marks the citation, the name of the Supreme Court case, which was Windsor. you know, like the castle in Britain. And that'll help them, because all omitted returns are reviewed by an IRS examinations division person. And I suspect most of the campuses have probably designated a couple of people to be experts in these amended returns. And that'll ensure it gets to somebody who knows the drill. It'll take three months, give or take, you know, to hear back from the IRS on this.
But it would be worth paying to have somebody do it if you thought you might actually get back. Is there a way to test out what kind of, you know, without going into a, you know, a fee situation where you're paying
Here's the general principle.
Uh-huh.
If you have a substantial difference in income between the two spouses, let's say one's $100,000 a year and the other's about $20,000, the chances are very good that filing jointly will save them several thousand dollars. If their incomes are roughly similar or they're both high incomers, say six figures, chances are they may well pay more filing jointly, in which case...
Don't do it.
Yeah, and a good tax professional can do this on a calculator real quickly. If Mary and I, if you give us the two tax returns, we can do a calculator in about 2 minutes and tell you whether it's worth pursuing or not.
Back of the hand is always the best. All right, 404-872-0750. We're doing our annual tax show with Bill Nemeth and Chet Burgess and Mary Brody on the website thinklink.com. Tomorrow we will put up their contact information so that you can find them. But you can always go to find an enrolled agent at 4GAEA, for Georgia Association of Enrolled Agents, .org. I'm Elise Glink. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more on News Talk WSB.
Sight is frightful, but the fire is so delightful.
It's 11:55 on the Elise Glink Show, rebuilding America one house at a time, starting with yours on News Talk WSB. We're doing our annual tax show. There's still a few days left before the end of the year in order to get some things righted. So next April 15th, maybe the 16th this year, I don't know. It'll be make it a little easier. We have in the studio today Bill Nemeth and Chet Burgess and Mary Brody. They're all enrolled agents, and they are here to help answer your questions. We have a lot of questions to get to, guys. Somehow the slate has filled up. So let's talk to Clarence. Hey, Clarence, welcome to the Elise Glink Show.
Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure. What's your question?
I'm retired, and my wife's retired, and we get Social Security, and I'm working part-time, and I'm confused. I've had several different answers on how much I can make before I have to pay taxes on my Social Security.
Okay. Would you like the official answer?
Yes, I would very much.
Stand by. Bill, Mary, and Chet.
Well, I'll ask the first question. How old are you, sir?
71.
You don't have to worry about anything. You can earn as much as you want.
But was the question, at what point do you have to pay tax on the Social Security?
Right. They told me if I make over $25,000 part-time, then I have to pay taxes on the Social Security.
Ah, okay. You're talking about the tax.
Yeah, the threshold. That's $34,000 for a married couple?
For a married couple, yeah. So if your adjusted gross income on the return...
Without the Social Security.
Without the Social Security is $34,000 or less, you're fine.
Okay.
So basically, along with your other income, now you have to factor in what you make and what your other income is, too, but, $34,000 is your threshold.
Okay. Now, if I go over that, do I have to pay taxes on all of the Social Security or a percentage that I go over? In other words, my problem is I've met the threshold right about now, and so I don't want to, just for the rest of December... If I've got to pay taxes on everything, what's the point of working?
Yeah, no, you don't have to pay tax on all that Social Security. No, it phases in.
Yeah, okay. It turns out the maximum that would be moved over into the taxable column is 85%, but you'd have to be making a considerable amount of money to do that.
Right.
And you're not going to be taxed at Georgia anyway, so I would continue to work and help the economy.
Enjoy yourself.
That's right. There's just a few days left of the year, working days, Clarence. Thanks so much for your call. 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. When we come back, we are going to ask about some of the big deductions, mortgage interest deduction, the energy saving credits, if any of those still exist. We've talked about deficiency tax forgiveness. So far, it looks like the end of the year for that, just a couple of days left. to get that going. But we will be back with more of our tax show next on News Talk WSB.